I'm Christina.
And this is Erin.
And you're listening to
Something to Wag About.
Hi, everybody. This is Christina. I am just recording a quick little intro here. One thing I want to introduce, my Deep Dive Leash Reactivity program. Super excited about that. That's open for enrollment right now until April 15th. And it's an 8-week program, small group, only take 10 people. And we really focus on how to address leash reactivity. I've worked through it myself with many of my dogs, lots and lots of rescue dogs of different breeds, and my little high drive border collie as well, who has a lot of health issues. So I've lived it, I've worked with thousands and thousands of students with it, and I have some great success. And I have some things that I say over and over again to almost every single client. So in this little groups, we're going to be able to get to the bottom of what you and your dog need in order to be successful. My goal is to take you from avoiding dogs and being afraid of running into dogs to looking for dogs. And when you see a dog, looking at it as an opportunity and feeling confident that you can go out there and train this and that you got this, you have a plan, you understand your dog, you understand what games to play when and when to change games. You can look it up, my website, www.positive.dog, and there's a little link on the menu that says Deep Dive. And the second thing I wanted to mention is that this is maybe not the best episode for me to be introducing my leash reactivity program, because this episode is about how Erin and I made some poor choices and we set our dogs up to fail. Now, it's a very long-winded story, and if you want to skip to the nitty-gritty, the why we're sharing this story, that happens at around the 24-25 minute mark. So feel free to skip ahead if the story itself is a little long for you, but lots of good gems in there, and it's real life. So I hope you enjoy.
Okay, so we had an exciting time that wasn't exactly wonderfully great training. Some poor choices were made. And there were some consequences. And we thought we would talk about that.
Now, let's just say that we knew it could potentially happen. We banked on it not being busy, but it was also a holiday. So yes. We knew it could potentially happen.
Yes, it wasn't a complete surprise. It was a risk that we were taking, and it wasn't so great. It didn't work out so great. So
for some context, for those who don't know, I broke my ankle a couple of weeks ago. So I haven't been able to walk my dogs. I've had people helping me with that. Christina and I met up. Was it yesterday? I'm losing track of time.
It was just yesterday.
Yesterday. I've already blocked it from my memory, apparently. We met up so she could take two of my dogs for a walk with two of her dogs. And usually this place that we walk in is quite quiet. We don't usually run into people there. That's why we love to walk there. But it was a holiday. And, you know, people come out during holidays.
I know some people seem to only walk their dogs on holidays.
It does seem to be the case. And it was also quite a nice day as well.
It was beautiful. It was a lovely day to be bleeding and embarrassed and having the world feel pity for me in the middle of the forest.
And I mean, you've told me a little bit about it, but I'm actually curious to hear some of your story as well, because we were kind of both flustered by the time you got back. So kind of just like, here's your dogs.
See ya.
I had my own flusters at the parking lot where I was with some dogs too. But I will let Christina talk about her fun stuff first.
So the reason we decided to take this risk is because 2 weeks ago, I went out with Vilya and my two, and it was easy. We were worried about me just taking Vilya on my own with the two, because Vilya and Jubilee are both dog reactive. Vilya struggles with men. Jubilee struggles with being on leash and in close proximity if we're stopped with other dogs, including Vilya. So there's a lot of moving pieces. And I took the three of them out 2 weeks ago, and it was easy. Like, dogs were passing. There was an intact male lime on two legs trying to see us, being held back from 3 feet away. The dogs did great. It was no problem. So based on that, when Aaron says, hey, how do you feel about taking Thorin? I said, yeah, sure. I think that'll be fine. It wasn't fine.
But I like that you mentioned that too. We didn't just throw them into the situation. You had tried an easier state first and it went really well. So we thought we could add this extra challenge. But then there was also the added challenge of it being busier.
Yes. On our walk 2 weeks prior, I ran into that whine right off the bat. And, you know, like that dog was not under control. He was leashed, but he wasn't well-mannered. And I think two other really well-behaved leashed dogs. That's who I ran into an hour and 15 minutes or so that I walked them 2 weeks ago. This trip, I think in total, I was gone about an hour. I didn't get nearly as far because there was a lot more stopping. And I ran into probably 9 groups of dogs in that time. So it was, and some of them were bigger, bouncier, more excited dogs. So it was a harder situation for our girls.
Yeah. And you were definitely not gone for an hour. You were only gone for maybe about 40 minutes tops. And that's how I knew. And that's probably was a good choice on your part. I'm assuming you turned around earlier for a purpose. But when I saw you come back early, I was just like, oh, that kind of told me that it probably wasn't going to go. It didn't go.
So to start, I stocked up my treat pouch with all of Aaron's cookies. And it's a big treat pouch. So I thought, I don't want to run out of treats if I keep running into a lot of dogs, right? I want to be able to train these four dogs, one of which is an adolescent. Enzo's 10. He's perfect. And the two girls and the adolescent Bozzy. So, you know, it's a lot of dogs for one person. But the other thing that I want to add is that they aren't big dogs. And I know if push came to shove that I could physically restrain the dogs. Like, I wouldn't have made that choice if they were all 80-pound dogs, because I wouldn't be physically capable of keeping control of this situation if I needed to. And I'm fairly fit. I'm fairly active. And I went into this knowing that if it went sideways, I was still able to take care of things.
Yeah. And that's a really important point, because when dealing with reactive dogs, like, we want to take challenges, you know, we want to progress, but we have to make sure that it's always safe. Like, safety is number one. So
yeah, that's we don't have the right to scare or to put the public at risk when we take chances with our dogs. So there are a lot of leash handling skills that we teach. Just because you have a big dog, it doesn't mean you need kind of scary control equipment on them. There's a lot of finesse and a lot of skill involved in handling a leash for reactive dogs. And that's something Aaron and I teach. And I don't want you to think that if you have a big dog, you can't train them, because a lot of my clients are smaller, often older ladies with big reactive dogs. And teaching leash skills is a huge part of what we do so that everyone is safe.
Yeah.
So we're at the park, we leash up all the dogs, and off I go. Oh, before I went, I left Maxie and Pippin with Erin and her little board and chain. I think that's it, right? That's all you had? The three?
Yeah, I had the three. Yeah.
Okay. And a broken leg.
Yeah. Very calm dogs, though. I mean, we're talking about a paralyzed dog, a blind dog. And really well, she actually isn't. I'm just boarding her, so she's not a board and train. Very lovely dog that's staying with me.
So you're there. We leash up the four. Off I go, because movement is easier for our herding dogs. We're not going to stand around. Standing around on leash is very, very hard for my young border collie. That's one thing I haven't really trained. Like, I can walk her past anything. Off leash, I can take her anywhere. I can do performances. She can do shows. She can do anything. On leash, not moving next to another dog is something I haven't really trained. So she really struggles with that still. So my plan was, don't stop much. And when I did stop, I wanted to, when I did before on our previous walk, I just asked everyone to sit and I give them treats and I tell them how good they are. And everyone was thrilled. Okay. Problem is, now we've thrown Thorin into the mix. Vilya is had an extra 2 weeks of not sufficient exercise, or not the kind of exercise she's used to getting. So she's extra kind of squirrely And which makes Jubilee go, why are you being weird? So I go around the corner. I run into some people and their dogs. I ask everyone to sit. Villia's looking like maybe these people are going to murder her, or maybe I am. I'm not sure which. And Jubilee goes, oh, you're being weird, and starts giving her the side eye and getting all like, oh, I don't know about this. Why are you being weird? And Thorin, being an adolescent, says, don't you look at my sister like that. And so luckily, Thorin is a very well-trained adolescent, and I was able to just body block a bit and say, sit. But now Jubilee is like, why are you looking at me like that? And I get them organized. But meanwhile, the dogs that are coming are now like within 3 feet of us. And then the two girls, who are both dog reactive and everything's really stressful right now, start hard staring at the oncoming dogs. And so now I'm training that. And Thorin's like, but why aren't I getting treats? And Enzo's just sitting there being perfect. And anyways, they pass and I'm like, oh my gosh, okay. Let's just keep moving. And so we get moving. Everybody's good. I take Jubilee off leash. Enzo's off leash. It's good. Life is great. Oh, shit. Another dog coming. Like, okay. This one's that same Weimaraner from 2 weeks prior. He is big and bouncy. I corral all the dogs. I get them all leashed up. I do some body blocking. I'm standing between Jubilee and Thorin because he's looking at her now. And the goes down a different trail. I'm like, oh, thank goodness. Off leash Jerry goes, off leash Enzo goes, off we go. All right, we're going along. We got, oh, at least 7 minutes.
That's pretty freedom.
I know. There was a dog, but they're going in the same direction as us. So we're following a dog at, you know, a safe distance. And that didn't bother anybody. So we have at least 7 minutes of no oncoming dogs. It's just the oncoming dogs. The ones coming straight at us, they're a problem. Because I can't walk four dogs, two of which are dog reactive, one of which is going to be reactive to the other dogs in the pack, one of which might fight back against that. I can't just move past an oncoming dog or three if I don't know the temperaments and the control factor. I don't know what's going to happen with those dogs. So I have to stop and pull over to make sure I have the space. So my training plan is to play a bit of look at that game, a bit of just cookie scatters, and to keep the dogs under threshold. This is management. This is not how we train leash reactivity. This is just plain, let's get through these little scenarios so we can enjoy our walk.
I like that you mention it because it's good for people to know that the purpose of this walk was to decompress, was to just try and get our dogs some wonderful exercise out in the woods. Didn't go according to plan, but that was what we were trying for. So that's why you were just doing the management versus versus the training. I am curious because I'm sure people will ask or wonder, at least I get this all the time, is when you pull over to the side and you're managing your dogs, do you interact with the person oncoming at all? Or do you just...
I say my dog isn't friendly. And it doesn't even matter what dog I'm taking care of or training or managing at that point, people understand that. I don't give them any explanation. I don't say, oh, it's a rescue. I don't say, oh, they get attacked. I don't give any kind of conversation openers. I say, my dog isn't friendly. Most people hear that. They understand. They leash their dog.
Yeah.
And that's it. You don't owe the world an explanation for your dog's behavior, but you do owe them a heads up that, hey, when you pass us, this might get exciting if your dog comes over here.
Yeah. Yeah. Short and sweet is best for sure. Yeah.
And to be clear, none of our dogs are real bite risks. They're just loud.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, they're just a bit dramatic. And so if our dogs were a bite risk, I maybe wouldn't have made this choice. And, or I might have had one or more of them muzzled.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't have made this choice to go out without muzzles in this off-leash trail with dogs that were more of an actual danger. These dogs are just a little bit dramatic. And they've had a lot of training to get them to that point. but this is where we are now. So I'm feeling a little flustered at this point. Things are a little bit exciting. I'm going through a lot of treats. The dogs are not interacting as well as I anticipated. Jubilee is having a really hard time with how anxious Villia is. And that makes Villia more anxious. And that makes Thorin want to get in there and be a big tough guy. And so things aren't going super well. And I'm thinking maybe I should turn around. So I look up ahead and it's a long trail. I could see really far ahead. There's nobody there. I thought, okay, well, maybe we're just past that, you know, that initial near the parking lot where you see a lot of people. So off Jubilee goes again. I take her off leash. I take Enzo off leash and off we go again. And we have, you know, some time. And things are going great. Things are lovely. They're playing. Jubilee has a cute stick that she found. It's a surveyor stake. and we're having a good time. And then I look up ahead. And there's three large dogs, one border collie mix and two doodles. And the doodles are look like lovely dogs, but they're wrestling. And they're like 70-pound type dogs. And they're wrestling and wrestling up ahead. So I leash up our guys managing that. And it's at one of those spots. It's an old like train track. So sometimes you can get off the trail, but sometimes you can't because there's like a steep cliff basically on each side of the trail. So sometimes you can't move very far off the trail. And this is one of those times. So I leash up our guys. I call up ahead. My dog's not friendly. And I said, I don't say my dogs aren't friendly. I said, my dog isn't friendly. It was a mistake. And so they leash up their dogs. Everyone's really great on this trail. That's why we go there, because when we do go there, when we do see off-leash dogs, everyone leashes their dogs. It's never been a problem.
I do want to jump in just because it took me a second actually to catch on to what you were saying. You said my dog isn't friendly. Why is that a mistake? It took me a second to think it through. So I like this.
Well, Aaron, you will hear about this in a second. Okay. I don't want to ruin the surprise.
Okay, we're not going to ruin the surprise. Okay.
All right. So a gentleman takes one of the dogs on a leash and the lady behind him takes the other two. And they're obviously together. And the man kind of passes me first and stops. So they're passing right to left. So he passes me and stops just kind of past my left shoulder, about 6 to 8 feet away from me with this big dog. And he's a big, tall man with a beard and a hat and sunglasses. And he kind of leans over and he goes, so which one isn't friendly? And Vilya takes offense to this. So she goes, wah. And I've got her by her harness, by the way. I hold the girls by their harnesses when people are in close proximity so they can't lunge. And she gets up on two legs. And I was making, you know, like, looks like the picture on the guard dog signs, the teeth and the eyes and the, like, what are you doing trying to get in my space, buddy? And he's got this big, big dog there. And dog was being perfect, actually. The dogs were the best behaved out of this whole group. Okay. Vilya, though, is having a really hard time with this. And he's staring at her while she's snarling on two legs at him. I've got her harness. And he is saying, which one isn't friendly? And he's sitting there like the one that's growling at you. So the mistake I made was saying my dog isn't friendly, not my dogs aren't friendly, because then he wanted to know which one wasn't friendly. And meanwhile,
so before you continue, I thought it was going to be something different. I thought you were going to say, because from a distance, if people can't quite hear you, it could sound like you said, my dog is friendly. I actually never even thought about that. But when you said that, I was like, art's probably a better word because it can't be misinterpreted. But
To be fair, I think I say my dog is not friendly. I think I really enunciate the not,
okay,
rather than saying isn't. My mind was just so on the singular versus plural when I was telling the story, because he was really interested to ask me which dog was friendly or not. I mean, at this point, Vilya's having a reaction. Thor and I just say sit. He's such a good boy. Enzo. Oh, by the way, I forgot this. I go to leash them. I'm missing a leash somewhere along the lines. I dropped Enzo's leash. So I've got four dogs, three leashes.
Sorry,
so Enzo is off leash and just put in a sit stay during this whole thing. He's just being such a good boy. Thorin is being such a good boy. And Jubilee has like wrapped her legs around my leg, which is one of her stress responses. And her whole body is a rock and she's belly growling, but she's restraining herself. And she's wrapped herself around my leg so that her claws are like, her nails are sticking into my leg. She is so stressed. But she's not even looking at the man and the dog. So I'm a little bit confused. I'm trying to deal with him. And I just say, could you keep walking, sir? And so he keeps walking. And I turn. And the reason my Jubilee is doing that at my leg is the other lady with her two big dogs has stopped even closer. Like she is 3 to 4 feet away from my right shoulder. That's why Jubilee was upset. And she's standing there. And I look over my shoulder and I'm kind of looking at her like, why are you here kind of expression, I hope. And she goes, oh, I thought my dogs could say hi. I thought, Jubilee is literally growling and a rock wrapped around my leg. Vilya is on two legs snarling and like saliva flying is in my mind. I don't know if it actually did, but that's kind of how I felt at that moment. My hand is tangled in Vilya's harness and two of my nails, which are non-existent, are ripped. So I'm now bleeding. I hope I didn't get blood on her harness. And this woman wants to say hi. And I'm like, well, maybe another day. She goes, oh, okay. And off she goes.
And I think it's very important to acknowledge. And I mean, we certainly have some laughs about it. But if you have not owned a reactive dog, if you just have your lovely pets, they're lovely, they're social, you've never had a reactive dog, you've never had the need or opportunity to really understand dog body language. So people can just be completely oblivious to the fact that your dog's really upset, even if it's really, really obvious. Like they, or I think sometimes people might think that if a friendly dog goes in, they'll see it's no problem and quote unquote,
yeah, get work over it out.
Yeah, like just work it out. So I appreciate that you're still kind about it. You say, oh, maybe yeah, another time. You don't get upset about it. That's not going to help anybody, right? Just, oh, maybe another time, you know, and you just.
And then, now is the time to try to educate this lady either. Now is the time to just get us all out of this scenario before I end up bleeding in more places and the dogs, I don't like them having that much stress. That is not ideal. That is not a good scenario for our dogs who we train so hard. We work so hard to build up their confidence and their skills. To put them in over their heads like that is just not fair. And so I don't want to stop and educate her at that moment. I want her to just continue on her merry way, enjoy her walk, and let us have some space so I can help the dogs calm down. So off they go. And off I go. Dogs are a little stressed, but they're fine. Again, I'm not letting anybody off leash except Enzo because he doesn't have one. I feel like at this point, everybody's staying on leash. And again, I've been gone, what, like 10 minutes by now, 12 minutes at tops. And so I look up ahead and two ladies are coming with a lovely little calm, bouncy looking bully mix who's off leash. And they were kind of hanging out up there watching the whole interaction. So I call up ahead and I say, my dog isn't friendly or my dog is not friendly. And so they leashed their little dog. And this now I've moved up a little bit and I can actually get off the trail. And our dogs were great. Now that I could get off the trail just an extra 5 feet, the dogs were great. And they actually, this couple stopped and chatted and they go, are you guys doing okay? I was like, yeah, we're great. We're just having a day. And they're like, okay, well, happy Easter. I hope you guys have a better day. I'm like, oh goodness, strange people at the park feel sorry for me. We're turning around. And I was almost out of treats. I was like, oh my goodness, this was crazy. And so off they go. And then I gave them enough space and then I followed behind and, you know, and so off leash and I just kept everybody on their long lines so that I didn't have to incorporate actually leashing anybody up into the whole process when we would inevitably see more people.
So you've turned around, you're almost out of cookies.
And we passed a couple more dogs, but because I was a little bit more careful and made sure I had space to get off the trail, just 5 feet, not a huge amount. The dogs are great. The way back, we had no drama. So that was really good. It was on the way out that all the drama happened.
Did you pass a lot of dogs on the way back?
Not as many. And I think too, Vilya and Thorin were, this is my first time taking Thorin out without you. Mm-hmm. And Vilya and him both really wanted to get back. Like it was a stressful walk. It was not decompressing for anybody except Enzo, who thought everything was grand. He's just such a nice boy. And now that we're turned around, they were less anxious about leaving.
Right.
They were focused on getting back and they're less like, oh, what are we doing? Less worried. So Jubilee didn't even look at them because they looked like they were doing a job. They're like trot, trot, trot going home. So they weren't doing any sketchiness. So Jubilee wasn't kind of like weirded out and looking at them hard staring or anything.
Yeah, I didn't know that. You hadn't told me that part. So, but it does, knowing my guys, make sense. Especially it's something I have noticed with Thorin since breaking my ankle. It has been quite hard on him. He is an adolescent, so kind of just a bit weird as adolescents can be. And the big change in the routine has affected him quite a bit. He in general is just a little more stressy, you know, less exercise plus a big change in routine. And from people who have walked him, I've definitely gotten the feedback that he doesn't love leaving me. Does get pretty weirded out when he is walking away from me. So doesn't have a lot of confidence in that manner.
That makes sense, especially as a dog. I mean, you do a lot of work from home. It's not like you have a dog walker come and take him out once a week or anything. He's young. He's an adolescent. And you're his person. And now things are being weird. You're in pain. Your routine has changed. He's not getting the exercise or the stimulation he's used to. And, you know, that makes sense that he doesn't want to leave.
It does make sense indeed. And yeah, my older girl, she's actually generally pretty good when she goes out with you or people that she knows well. She doesn't do as well with strangers. She needs to know you first. But the reduced activity for her makes a big difference. Like her right now, even just around the house or in my yard, she is much more stressy and much more reactive. And that is just a product of her needs are not being met.
Mm-hmm. She's a pretty high needs dog with her anxiety and her exercise needs. Like she can fall apart easily if you don't take care of her well.
Yeah.
And so this is a lot for her.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so the reason we wanted to talk about this, the reason I wanted to talk about this is, well, it would have been really easy for Aaron and I to just keep this between ourselves and not tell anybody. Yeah, I wasn't wearing any of my logos. It wasn't in a town I live in. Nobody knows who I am. Although if anyone finds my royal blue double-ended canine equipment leash in Duncan, I would love to have it back. never did show up. Someone must have picked it up. But if you don't put yourself outside of your comfort zone and try things, you can get really stuck. And it's easy to get stuck with reactive dogs. We always think, I don't want them to go over threshold, and that's right. But there's training and there's testing. Sometimes you got to step out of your comfort zone and test and say, hey, will this work? And we have a management plan. We have a safety plan. But sometimes we go, we're going to try this and it might fail and that's okay. But then we know.
Exactly.
Yeah. And I think especially in the positive training world, where everyone's really aware of the dog's feelings, it's really easy to get stuck and not take those risks.
Yeah. Well, and even with us, right? If I hadn't have gone outside of my comfort zone, I wouldn't have been able to become a dog trainer. Because the thought previously of me just standing in front of a classroom and talking to a group of people, like, sent my anxiety ridden brain through the roof. Like, I can't do that. But some stress and pushing yourself is important, right? That's how you progress. Obviously, the goal is not to stress them too much, but you never know unless you try. And yeah, as long as you cover your bases so that it's safe. I tell people, if we go too far, one bad a bit too high stress situation is not going to completely undo everything that you've been working on, right? Mm-hmm. Now we just know, okay, we're not quite ready for that yet. So we're not going to try that again tomorrow. but it is important to test yourself and your dog every now and then.
I'd like to think that we are pretty up to date on the science, and there's so much stuff. You're doing that great resiliency course. I've done a bunch of behavior vet stuff on resiliency. Stress isn't bad. Too much stress is bad. Chronic stress is bad. But stress isn't bad in itself. And I had an email from a student really upset one day because they went for a walk and their dog had a reaction. And she was worried that they sent their dog back months. No, not at all. Like, yeah, you go home, you decompress, you make a plan so it doesn't happen next time. And no big deal. You just get on with life. A little failure every now and then, as long as you have a plan, is part of learning. And that's okay.
Exactly. I can say from my point of view is that having a blind dog and a paralyzed dog and a really lovely boarding dog all together when you have a broken foot is not necessarily as easy as it sounds.
Well, if you throw in that the blind dog is also deaf and has significant separation anxiety, it gets even more interesting.
Yes. I also had people feeling a little sorry for me. I was in the parking lot and we had a little X-Pen set up for Maxie and Pippin. And Pippin as well, even though he's paralyzed, he's still an Aussie. And although he is, from an Aussie standpoint, low needs, low energy, like exercise requirements, he still, like my other guys, has not been getting as much. So he's got some pent up energy too, which I expected, but not for it to come out in the way that it did, or at least not as much. So anyway, Maxie and Pippin in the X-Pen, and then I had my lovely little boarding dog that I was going to play some disc with while I waited for Chris. And yeah, needs not being met, Pippin and Maxie pretty much just sang to each other the whole time.
Oh, I love it.
It was great.
Before I DNA tested Maxie, I assumed she was Aussie just because she is so vocal. But she's not.
Yeah. Maxie's really happy just because she is blind and deaf, right? Like, pretty much almost seems to be fully, close to fully deaf at this point. So she was really happy as long as I was touching her. So I kind of just had to sit there with one hand on her. Pippin was happy as long as he could be killing something with his mouth. So the towel that I was trying to sit on to stay dry, I gave to him to play with so that he was happy because he had some pent up energy and killing a towel was helping. And then my sweet little boarding dog, she was a gem. I mean, she was easy. She was just happy to play with a disc. But yes, I had some people walk by and they saw my broken ankle and my three dogs and, are you okay? Yeah, we're good. Yeah, it was fun.
Yeah, because I didn't have a leash for Enzo, as I was coming back, I knew he would want to go and see you. So that's why I'm coming back. I've got all of them. I know coming back up to there where Artemis is and Pippin is and Maxie, it's going to be exciting when we come back. So that's why I just called up ahead and sent Enzo up to you since I didn't have a leash for him anyways. And then when I got closer, I released your two to you and took my two and put them in the car. And, you know, enough. We went. Okay. I was done. I was bleeding. I was sweating. I was embarrassed. And yeah, we won't do that again.
But here's the important thing to know. It happens to us trainers too. But that is because we still want to challenge our dogs, right? We have reactive dogs. We think we're making a good calculated risk that they may be successful at. You know, we didn't completely throw them into the deep end and just hoping we could swim. You know, we had had prior success. But every now and then, it doesn't go according to plan, and that's okay.